Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
App. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle of the rest of my life?
Reminds me of Al Horford.
I need a photo opportunity. I
want a
shot of redemption.
Oh, okay. Big Al.
Did we used to play this for Al Horford?
We had to come back from
break. Yeah, I think we did.
I think we did, yeah.
I think we definitely did that a few times. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Jordan Love's high school uniform looks exactly like the Patriots' new uniform.
It's unbelievable.
That according to the Stoolie sales guy. Good catch, Paul. Good catch. I can't believe it. I'm looking at this photo. I didn't know that high school teams were allowed to rip off NFL logos.
Well, they shrunk it. Is that the key?
It's on the neck. It's the emblem on the neck, and it's also the helmet logo is the same as the New England Patriots. I thought it was a Photoshop. I'm like,
I did too.
Oh, what did they do? They Photoshopped the word on. I'm like, oh, this is his actual jersey and the new Patriot color rush. Well, not new because it's just the color rush of the last few years is being kept as the full time jersey now. It looks exactly like Jordan Love's high school jersey. That's,
you know what,
Beetle? Funny.
The tip on the Patriots, like you look right on the neck.
Yeah,
the tip of the forehead looks a little lower than
the tip digs in, and then boom. Sorry,
it didn't work there.
Boy, sometimes you know those fake promos as you're saying them.
Yes, yes,
it is interesting though. Wow.
But honestly, what looks better, Jordan Love's high school uniform or the Patriots' current uniform?
I kind of like the high school one.
Yeah, so do I. I sort of like that high school uniform. It's sort of a nice uniform. As promised, let's go to your phones, get some of your thoughts. We've been talking draft. We've been talking Patriots in general. All these things. Uniforms, including Tom, who's in Newton. He's got a thought on the uniforms. Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. Just want to weigh in on the Patriots uniforms. I mean, I don't want to sound too superstitious or anything, but, I mean, there's something to be said about the fact that at the beginning of the Tom Brady era, or, you know, around then, I forget exactly which season it was, you know, you come out with these classic, you know, blue home jerseys that they've had forever. Now Tom Brady leaves and you change it up. I mean, that just, I don't know. I don't love the move. But if you look at the jerseys themselves, I mean, they've had a few of them. You know, I do sort of have to agree that those blue jerseys were a little bit stale. But if you're going to change it up, you bring out this one. I mean, you call it a color rush jersey. There's nothing colorful about it. It's just a dark blue jersey. I love the retro 90s jerseys. I like their white away jerseys. If you remember in the middle part of the 2000s, I hated those gray ones. You know, like those like dirty looking ones.
Oh, they're gross. The silver ones. They were
the
nasty. They looked
the
dirty.
One that you washed the whites with the blues and everything bled together.
Yeah, it did. It looked like you would run a load of laundry and mix them up, and it's like, oh, we accidentally put a blue sock in the laundry. You know, and now all the white jerseys are this gross, dingy gray look. Yeah, those silver ones didn't last very long. The Patriots did wear, at one point, so I forget what season, it may have been 2003, they wore all blue. They wore a blue they wore their blue top, and then they also wore blue pants. Do you remember that?
Yeah, 02.
02, thank you.
They played against Green Bay. They did them against Kansas. I think they lost four in a row, and then we never saw them after that, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So they started 3-0 that year, and then they went four losses in a row, and then I don't think we saw those uniforms ever again.
Yeah, superstition got the best of it. But if you Google it, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. They were the blue jerseys, but then with blue pants.
Wow.
Yeah, they wore all blue, similar to Color Rush, but again, their actual blue jersey top, which is now gone.
I think the
reasons.
Game that Kevin Faulk didn't pick up the fumble, I think that was an all-blue game, right?
No, I don't think so. That was a home game. That was on about the 25-yard line right in front of the bench.
Yeah, they wore them at home.
Flare. Did they?
Yeah.
Huh.
They wore those jerseys at home that year. Let's go to Scott, who's in Gardner. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Scott. What's up?
Okay. I was wondering about the draft, how much they need tight end. Who would you recommend for them to go after?
Yeah, I would recommend doing a trade with Tampa Bay for O.J. Howard and not drafting a tight end. That's what I would do. I'd make a trade, Zoe. What about you?
Tell us the kid's name from Notre Dame. Ingrid or what?
The tight end?
Yeah.
Cole Kmet. K-M-E-T.
K-M-E-T. Kmet.
But he's a later round guy. He's he's not going to go high.
I'm not saying pick him in the first round, but if you got him day two, and if you target a guy day two, tight end, that's your tight end. You know, they don't have one right now.
I don't think there are any projected first round tight ends this year.
It's not strong. Not strong at all.
Yeah, he's not a first round pick. And he's regarded as the best tight end in the draft by many, right?
Draft
people?
That way.
Yeah, a lot of people have him as the top tight end, and he's not going to go in the first round. I would rather they spend the pick and go get O.J. Howard, who apparently is on the trade block again.
Who's our draft expert at the station? Is it Jones? Is Jones one of those draft weirdos?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
Bob Soucy.
That's Bob Soucy.
Oh, that's right. Soucy's got his draft show.
Yeah, sure does. Matt's in Saugus on Tua. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. So just a couple thoughts on Tua. I think people are kind of overlooking how incredible the cast of, you know, on offense was at Alabama this past year. You know, people are talking about two first-round wide receivers, the best coach in college football with Saban. Tua kind of reminds me a bit of Big Ben, where he's always dinged up. You're always wondering, is he going to come out of the game? Is he going to play? Is he hurt? And one more thought on, QB. I definitely don't want them to take Fromm at 23. Watched a lot of Georgia last year, and I just thought that offense was anemic, and I don't want them going anywhere near Fromm.
Well, Fromm lost a lot of his talent, and that's why he struggled last year. I don't think he's going anywhere near the first round, Will Fromm. You know, that's more of a day two thing with him. The Tua stuff, too, I mean, you play in a big conference. You get beaten up a lot. There's some big boys in that SEC, man. They hit you. That's a tough schedule they went through. Plus, you're playing the extra, conference games, championship games, and you get the bowl game. He didn't play in those, obviously. But, he always had good receivers. Always good receivers at Alabama, though. So,
let's go to Keith, who's in Rhode Island. Hey, Keith. I'm Jake Fromm.
Hey, Beetle. I don't know what the last caller is thinking. Like, I'm a huge Georgia fan. I think Fromm is the next guy. I think he's very Brady-like. He's very accurate. No, he's not very athletic. He doesn't have the big arm, but he's smart. He's a game manager, and he makes the big plays. And the reason why Georgia didn't win the past couple of years was, they didn't make the changes on the defense. So I think that goes back to coaching versus what he did. And I just think Fromm is very Brady-like, man. I think that he's not being talked about a lot, which I kind of like because, I think Belichick has probably taken a scent off of him by saying he wants Tua and everybody else. And that's all I got for you.
Jim, all right, Keith. Appreciate the call. He's right about that. In terms of a Brady comp, that's who the guy is. Everyone talks about his incredible work ethic.
Yeah.
The fact that he has not been gifted with the natural ability and he just works his ass off to be able
start as a true freshman there. At Georgia, that's tough to do. Do you trust guys that wax their eyebrows? Like, you look on the NBC Sports simulcast right now. He's an eyebrow waxer. Those things they got a nice edge to them there, Hardy.
Well, do you know that he's waxing, or is he just maybe he's going to one of those places in the mall where they do the string?
Ooh, you mean the threading?
Yes.
Ooh, that's good.
Would you trust a threader as opposed to, wow, those are.
Yeah.
Oof.
And hey, Eddie. Eddie Munster. would he have had the David Robichaux unibrow, that Eddie Munster one? I love my boy Roby.
Can they strike gold twice, though, or do they have to look for a Brady guy? Does everyone want a guy like Brady, or can they look at something different here? You know what I mean? Should we be looking for the guy that's closest to Brady, or should we be thinking completely different because they're not likely to strike gold twice?
Yeah, I would go more with what you're saying, Jim, which is go for someone who's actually very talented and start there. Start with talent.
I don't know if you're going precision. Sorry to interrupt there, but like you go back to Chad O'Shea and what they tried to do down in Miami, right? Flores, we got to get rid of him because we're trying to be too much like Brady. We can't do that. It's too precise.
But I do know that I want to watch a smart football player play quarterback for this team. Is that okay to say?
Yeah.
I like smart players. I think we've really, all of us in New England, have come to really appreciate smart football in the last two decades. I don't want a big dummy quarterback. I definitely don't want that.
You know what, Josh Allen?
Well, you appreciate smart football when it results in winning. You know, the knock on the Patriots early on before they, you know, showed that they could consistently do it was, yeah, they win, but they're boring. You know, it's boring to watch. Well, there's nothing boring about winning six Super Bowls and going nine times. So you accept a certain level of you know, unexciting play from time to time if it's going to result in the ultimate prize. If you're just, you know, a smart quarterback, but you're only winning,
like unexciting 60% play was not games. A hallmark of the era for the Patriots. Last year, I think people got a little bored with things. But outside of last year, when has it ever not been exciting?
I would say the first 4 years. I mean, it was exciting the way it transpired.
Four years of what? Of back in the early 2000s?
Yes.
Oh, I totally disagree with that.
With the quarterback play? We're talking specifically about the quarterback play.
Yeah, I thought the quarterback was just fine. I mean, 2001, he was more of a game manager.
More
of a game manager. But by the time they got to 2000 and, let's say, 4, the quarterback play was at a high level. I mean, everybody loved Brady. We revered Brady. I don't think any of that was not exciting enough.
At the beginning, though, and you just said it, it was more of a game manager, and it was relying on a very good defense. And sure, there were exciting seasons. I mean, the seasons with Randy Moss were fantastic, and with the other high potent offensive teammates he had between Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez and Welker and Edelman, yes, they made it exciting. But he himself, in terms of an exciting player, no, he was capable. It's okay. It's okay to have a guy who doesn't run around like his hair is on fire and not be Cam Newton and not be Patrick Mahomes. That's all right. You know, a guy who just slides up in the pocket and evades tackles and completes some throws. But, I mean, seriously, we're not going to rewrite history here. He was not the most dynamic quarterback the game has seen for most of his time, most of his 20 years in New England. He won. That's what made him the best. So to say that I don't mind, a smart quarterback and a guy, yes, I don't mind it either, as long as they're going to win. But to try and convince yourself now that watching Tom Brady led offenses was always an exciting thing, it just wasn't. Not every year. It was exciting when they won. It was exciting when they orchestrated comebacks. But beyond that, was he himself an exciting player to watch? Do you really feel that way?
I do.
In a vacuum?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think he was always exciting to watch. Yes.
I think it was more about the moment, the comebacks, like, than the actual play of the player. You know, the big throw, you know, on a 3rd and 7 or that 4th and 10 down a seam to Gronkowski against Denver in the playoffs. You know, those type of things. I think it was more about the moment for Brady as opposed to, wow, you watch Michael Vick, he's exciting. Lamar Jackson's exciting, you know?
Yeah, and Beadle, again, this is coming from somebody who watched from the outside for the first 3-4 years, right? I'm giving you an outsider's perspective, not somebody who was here in New England who grew up with the team and thought that was the greatest thing ever. I'm telling you what the general consensus was, at least around me and everyone else watching. I'm like, yeah, they win, but it kind of puts you to sleep while they're doing it sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, let's pick this up on the other side. We got more calls and more thoughts on this very item in terms of what you want for the Patriots this week in the draft, but also what you want in a quarterback. All of that in the mix here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So he's leaving the line. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Andrew in Georgia. We got a call from Georgia on Jake Fromm. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking
my
call.
Thank you.
Well, I called in earlier. I heard a gentleman talking about he thought, you know, Jake wasn't a good option or had struggled with his 2019 season. I wanted to kind of build on what Zoe said. I'm a season ticket holder for Georgia football. I've seen every game Jake's played in person, home and away. And Zoe hit on something big time. You know, in 2017, 2018, you're throwing to guys like Nicole Hardman, Javon Wims, Riley Ridley, Terry Godwin, Isaac Nauta, who all are on NFL rosters. Nick Chubb, Sony Michel. What Kirby Smart asked Jake to do in the Georgia offense is to manage the game, not turn the ball over, and take chances off play action. I mean, he takes care of the football, doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. I think last year, if you just watched Jake last year, you're not getting the full story on what he can do as a quarterback.
Okay, yeah, I agree. What's the full story? Yeah. That he can manage the game and that he can take shots on play action? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, did you watch the national championship game in 2017? Did you watch the 2018 SEC championship? He torched some good defenses. So simply saying that he's a game manager and can't, you know, make the throws that he needs to throw, I think is unfair. When he was allowed to throw the football, when he was allowed to compete, he did his job. But that's not what Kirby Smart asked him to do in the Georgia offense, especially when you have backs like Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, and DeAndre Swift.
All right, well, I would say that I think what you're doing is defending Jake Fromm against the criticism that he does not have the best arm talent, if you will, going into the draft. And as a Georgia fan, you want to defend him because you think that that's a major slight when they say that about a player. I would say, who cares? Who cares that he can? What, so he doesn't throw a great deep ball? Like, what is it? Why do I care about those things? Like, that doesn't matter. So, in a lot of ways, I think it's why people have, you know, talked and speculated about why Jake Fromm could become a Patriot, because he fits more of that mold of being a guy who manages the game and he's sort of smart, right? And you can absolutely function as a Patriot as long as you're a smart player. You don't need the best physical tools to be a really good player. Is that fair to say? Sort of goes back to what we were just talking about, Hardy. May not be the most exciting guy, but he can, maybe play at the next level, getting by on some of the intangibles. Or in this case, maybe the tangible quality of being able to be a smart player who makes good decisions.
Yeah, and look, the arm strength might be an issue. You know, everybody wants, you know, that deep threat receiver, someone to take the top off the defense. Well, you've seen it work for teams. You've seen other teams operate just fine without that. But if you are like racking up, you know, the pros and cons, I think it's a fair thing to put on a quarterback's list in the con category if he doesn't have the arm strength to throw deep balls. But it doesn't mean that you can't succeed.
But I'll tell you what one thing, like arm strength wise, that does concern you about a player and should concern you about a player. Can you throw a quick 15-yard out, Zoe, like to the perimeter?
Right.
You know, like can you put it on a dime? Can he do that?
I think he could spin it. Again, it's like hey, you're going to go to a playground and you're going to pick teams for kickball, right? And you're going to base it off, okay, I just watched this kid for the last 10 minutes throw or kick, or and you're going to pick the best ones. To me, again, I go back to what I looked at the combine. I watch those quarterback drills all the time, top to bottom, and I watch all of them, Jordan, all those guys. Fromm and Hurts were the best there. And if I was picking teams there, I would start with one of those two guys if you're going to go back and forth between two captains. You know, that's just basing it off what I saw at the combine. You know, and I've seen a lot of these guys play in college, but I'm not taking a lot of that into it. I want to see, okay, here, pro people are asking you to do this. Can you make this slant throw? Can you make the dig? Can you make the curl? What's your anticipation? Is the ball coming out before they're – and that's what I'm watching when I'm watching a combine. It's easy to throw an in cut when the guy makes the cut and he's running across the field. You hit him. What's that anticipation like when his hips start to settle before he makes that cut? And does he turn? It's there. That's what I saw with Fromm, that anticipation. And when you don't have big hands or a big-time arm, you've got to be able to do that, especially at the next level. Because those guys, those defensive backs will jump the hell out of your arm.
He's also a bare minimum height guy, 6'2".
Yeah.
Bare minimum. Yeah. He just reaches the threshold of height, 6'2".
Oh, Beatles height chart, yeah.
Yeah, my height chart, yeah. You got to be 6'2" or greater.
Is he a real 6'2"?
I think he's a real 6'2". Okay. I think he's a real.
Well,
he's a real 6'2". Yeah.
When you're 6'2", like, I don't think the guys at 6'2" feel the desire to lie as much as the guys who are not 6 feet.
Aren't all those guys
who's 5'11" and 3/4"? Two of
those.
Yeah.
Those Georgia quarterbacks, they're like all built the same, like Stafford. Like he looks like Stafford, a little barrel chested, but a little squatty. You know, like who's the other one? Chase Daniel, who, you know, he went to Missouri, I think, though. But yeah. There's just that compact.
Thinking of Aaron Murray. Aaron
Murray, yep. Aaron Murray. Good job, Jim.
Yeah.
I like that there's a sliding scale. If you say you're 6'3", you're probably 6'2". If you're 6'2", yeah.
You're 6'1 and a half.
Yeah, 6'3 is 6'2 and a half. 6'2 is maybe 6'1. If you say you're 6 feet tall, that means you're 5'10".
I'm 6'5". Nobody debates it. When does this start?
Right.
It's around
when you're
6'5",
it's like, he's 6'5". What do you mean?
Yeah, that's,
what do you mean?
No need
really
to lie.
6'5". He's
6'5". I think he's 6'4 and a half or he's 6'. No.
You're right.
Nobody,
it is a
nobody ever argues that.
You say you're 6 feet, he's 5'10". He's 5'10", and I know it. Jake is in the car. Jake, you there?
What's up, boys? Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's up?
Go ahead.
So going off of the Jake Fromm thing, especially with the last kid that just called, so would it be more of a level of familiarity for Sony Michel? Could you potentially get something more out of him? Because, I mean, he was more of a pass-catching back coming out of Georgia with Fromm under center. And, I mean, you already got a kid with Fromm who's beat out Easton, he beat out Field. So, if anything, I mean, it'll light a fire under Stidham, maybe have a little more of a competition in camp for the quarterback job. I just kind of want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, on the Sony Michel point, I don't know what it is that the quarterback can add to a guy, his ability to hang on to the football or not. Like, what would be the advantage?
All right.
If they throw you the ball and you drop the ball, who does it matter which arm that, you know, what does it matter which arm threw the football? You either catch the ball or you don't.
Yeah.
So I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that at all. But the competition thing does sound like fun. If they brought in another young quarterback to throw into this mix,
yeah,
just to keep everybody sharp in the QB competition.
Absolutely. Get Brian Hoyer on his toes, right? Have him looking over his shoulder.
John and Franklin, go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Hey. So I'm actually really looking forward to the draft because it's a sense of normalcy, and I love the draft every year, and I don't care how low budget it looks, it's something to watch, and it should be cool. But what I want to talk about is there are two scenarios I'd like to see the Patriots take. And the first one I'll talk about real quick is I'd like to see them trade out of 23 and accumulate more picks, maybe even another first-rounder for next year from a desperate team. But what I'd really like to see them do, if they identify a quarterback, whether it's Tua, Herbert, whoever, is get aggressive and go all in and try to get that next QB. Because I trust Belichick and McDaniels to take, you know, the next guy. And the comparison I've always made, and I'd love to hear you guys talk about this, is if Brady was a Ferrari, okay, and he was the greatest car you could have, the next guy I'd like to see them take is a Corvette. You know, if they can get a Corvette, like a B-plus quarterback, and again, I'll make a very quick comparison.
Okay, no, we've already had a comparison. It's the Corvette, the Ferrari to a Corvette. Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't love that? Oh, they had the Ferrari. They had the best ever. But the next thing they got was just slightly less. But it was still really good. Still a really good thing. Of course. Because the odds say that's not going to happen. The odds are against that for any team, even with someone like Bill Belichick. Let's hit on his first point quickly before headlines. Do you trust Josh McDaniels to pick the next guy? He said, I trust Belichick and McDaniels. I trust Belichick. I don't trust McDaniels. That guy drafted Tim Tebow in the first round. No, I don't trust Josh McDaniels to make that pick. Nope. I trust Bill. Those
don't
are two different things.
Don't
and I
forget.
Like McDaniels a lot, by the way. You know that. As a coach, I think he should be the next guy, and I like him a ton. But, no, I don't trust him picking quarterbacks.
Don't forget, Tim Tebow was in the North End with Bill Belichick having dinner, and he was holding on to a football. Just
did he draft
football
him?
With him.
Nope, you're going to hold that against him? He didn't draft him.
What's the interest there, though? What were you doing there? He did
what was
end
he
up
doing?
At some point.
He liked
Maybe
him.
He was
he liked
hungry.
Him. He liked him enough to eventually make
hungry.
Him a Patriot.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick still liked him enough down the road to put him on the roster.
Bill likes
take
football
a look.
Players.
It was short-lived.
He likes football players. Yeah.
It was short-lived. He tried to see if there was something he could get out of the player, and he determined quickly that there wasn't. But Bill Belichick wouldn't have used a first-round pick on this guy. If Bill Belichick had no quarterback, none, and needed one, and he had a first-round pick to do it, do you think he would have taken Tim Tebow?
Like in this year's draft?
In any draft.
No.
Like
no,
Brady
no.
just left in this year's draft. You
need
a quarterback, yeah.
And he didn't have Stidham on his roster. And he went into the offseason with, let's say, there was a veteran backup that was also a free agent. So he had no quarterback on the roster to start the offseason. Would he use a first-rounder on Tim Tebow? I would like to think that answer is no, for a lot of different reasons.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Here are headlines with Hardy. Last night was episode 1 and 2 of the Michael Jordan 90s Bulls documentary on ESPN. We've got some thoughts on that. We'll get to those next. We'll still be talking Patriots and draft all day long.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Michael asked him, well, if I play, what percentage is there that I'm going to get hurt again? Doctor said, 10%.
And I just lost it. I said, look, it's 10% chance, but it's 90% chance that I won't.
And then I chimed in to the doctors, what happens if the 10% kicks in? And they said, well, then his career would be over.
Well, everybody's just thinking about the negative. Well, I think the glass is half full. Everybody thinks it's half empty.
So I said to Michael, you're not understanding the risk-reward ratio. If you had a terrible headache and I gave you a bottle of pills and 9 of the pills would cure you and 1 of the pills would kill you, would you take a pill?
And I look at him, I said, depends on how bad the headache is.
Last night was episode 1 and 2 of The Last Dance, the 10-part series put on by ESPN that covers the career of Michael Jordan and the Bulls of the 1990s with a lot of footage from the final year of that team being together and winning their 6th title. We talked about this last week. There's been a lot of conversation about this, a lot of hype for it, and I would say I've only seen the first hour. I made a mistake last night of not realizing. I made two mistakes. One, I didn't realize they were airing 2 a night. I thought it was 1 a night.
No
I
kidding.
Screwed that up. And in not realizing that, I also made a second mistake, which was instead of just DVRing every new one, you know how you just pick, every episode, every new one. I did the individual episode for episode 1. And I watched it later last night. And so when I got to the end of episode 1 last night, all of a sudden I see Scottie Pippen, and I'm like, wait, this is new material. Is episode 2 on tonight, too? And it wasn't on again until 1 in the morning. So I DVR'd it, and I have everyone DVR'd going forward. So I've seen the first hour, but not the second hour. My mistake. Oh.
Well, I didn't know that you had automatically fixed it. I watched the first one last night and automatically decided it was so good I wanted to make it last as long as possible. So I did not on purpose watch the second episode last night because I want to be able to have – eventually we're not going to have one, right?
Right.
So I will watch, you know.
It's five consecutive Sundays. Well, they're going to do 2 hours each Sunday for consecutive Sundays.
Oh, I thought it's not tonight?
It's not on again tonight?
It's every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Five weeks in a row. Sunday night, 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. They 2 episodes each night. There's 10
5
episodes
weeks
total.
Of this?
Yes.
Oh, No.
You kept saying until May. I thought they were going to run these like a couple few nights and then get a couple of nights off, and then they would be wrapped up by May 1st.
Oh, if you missed episodes 1 and 2, I'm sure they're going to be running all week long, and they're just going to keep rerunning them as content all week long. Yeah,
Artie, I thought we were going to run one a day from now through the rest of April. That's what I was hoping for.
Well, ESPN, when you think about it, though, Beetle, they don't need to. Not this week. They can do draft stuff starting, you know, probably tomorrow night.
I really thought, this is in my mind, I don't know where I got this from other than just thinking it, that they were going to run 5 straight this week, Sunday through Thursday, and then 5 straight next week, Sunday through Thursday. That brings them to May 1st.
No, I heard an interview from the producer over the weekend. They haven't even produced episode 10 yet. They had to fast track this to get these ready for last night to start
the
series.
Well, I'll tell you what. At least in episode 1, the first hour, the quality did not suffer as a result of the fast tracking. I thought it was really good, excellently put together, great production work, great footage, great films, good interviews. I did think that it was a little disjointed the way they're doing it, where the timeline is not. You know, you start at point A and you make your way to point B. It's all over the place. You're watching something on Jerry Krause, and then all of a sudden you turn around and you're in Jordan's rookie year, and you're back in North Carolina, and you're sort of all over
like
the place.
It's like Pulp Fiction. Yeah. Hey, who was that talking with Jordan there at the beginning of that clip, Jim?
That's the owner.
Ryan so that was Reinsdorf, so who, by the way, sounds like Joe Torre. He is the... I was watching it last night,
and all I could think
was he sounds exactly like Joe Torre. You really think he sounds like Kenan Lowell?
Give me it again, Jim. Just quick. Yeah, I think
Michael asked him, well, if I play, what percentage is there that I'm going to get hurt again? The doctor said, 10%.
What, are you going to take a bunch of pills? Sounds just like Ken. You thought Tori. It sounds like Ken. Keep it going, Jim. Give it again.
It doesn't sound like
pills.
Ken even a little bit.
A whole bottle of pills if your head's hurting.
Michael asked him, well, if I play, what percentage is there that I'm going to get hurt again?
The
doctor said, 10%.
And I just lost.
That's right. He's got a lot of Ken and Lowell in him.
It's the delivery.
Yeah, the cadence. The cadence is there.
The cadence is there, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beetle, when you're watching this, you got to just picture it as if it's the entire story of the 97-98 Bulls, and they just keep flashing back as part of that story.
To get there.
I understand the concept. I'm just saying that it's all over the place.
Well,
they have all this footage they have to use from 97-98, so they have to keep going back and forth. There's no other way to do it. They got to use all the footage, right?
It's different in how they're choosing to do it, but I actually think in the end, it's actually going to be very good that they did it this way because it keeps you engaged all the way because you're dealing with a lot of different stuff. So I think it's artistically going to work for them very well that they did it this way. But the timeline is all out of whack. So it's not like you start, you know, it's not a biography where you start with the early life and make your way to the end. Well, that's not how they're doing it.
They did a little bit. They did more early stuff in the first episode than I. Nope, it's all going to be 97-98 season, last stanza, that's all there is. Next thing you know, we're freshman year in college, and, you know, it's back to North Carolina, and it's Dean Smith and all this. So then I started getting really excited. I'm like, are we going to get to, I don't know, maybe those, like, mid to late 80s teams where Joe Dumars put him in a skirt for about 2-3 seasons in a row? Are we going to see the whole story here, or are we going to go from NCAA championship to winning rings in Chicago. Because it'd be a shame to skip over those years, you know, in some of those Eastern Conference battles before they started dominating. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not complaining, you know, if they skip over, because so far it's been really good. I mean, just that first hour was enough to.
I love how you go straight to Joe Dumars and the Detroit Pistons as the as like they were the foe for the Bulls.
They were.
It's good.
Dumars was the last guy to stop that guy.
I would just say the Bulls dynasty, and this is just the fanboy Homer opinions that we are throwing out there. The Bulls dynasty couldn't exist until the Lakers and Celtics dynasties were dead. Like, that's what it was.
No, it wasn't. Like, absolutely incorrect. It was the Pistons who won back to back.
Yeah. Is that a dynasty too? Does two count?
I don't know. Ask Jordan when he was getting shut down by Joe Dumars for about three straight seasons.
He had to,
it wasn't just waiting for Larry Bird and Magic Johnson to age out of their prime. He had to wait for the Pistons to get done making them look foolish there for a couple of years, too. And look, he's the greatest of all time. He's the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. And it was bound to happen eventually. But if you're going to go back and you're not going to gloss over anything, tell the story. Tell the story about when he couldn't beat the Celtics and there was no chance of him beating the Lakers and there was no chance of him beating the Pistons.
I think they'll get there. I mean, those aren't embarrassing things. That's just basketball, right? The embarrassing stuff is what do we get on the gambling side? And according to some reports of people that have seen advanced copies of it, they're going to get into the gambling stuff. I want to know if they address his time off or his vacation, as he called it in episode one, if they're going to address the rumors that have persisted for a long time about why he left the game. Are you going to take it head on? Are you going to say it's not the reason? Are you going to address it at all?
Well, that's what
I want to know about this thing.
I love them going back, and I love doing some of the early stuff, but don't just give me national championship at North Carolina.
Yep.
Fast forward to the first ring. Don't do that to us. If you're going to go back and touch on, you know, a few more of these things, because that would make it awesome. It's been really, really good. So, I mean, just look, we're suckers for this stuff anyway. Chances are we're going to like it regardless, but especially during this time and especially the way it was done. I thought the first episode was very well done.
Actually, a few more thoughts on this on the other side, on Jordan's personality, what we thought of him in episode one, and also Jerry Krause, who is clearly the villain in this documentary. We'll do that coming up next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Michael asked him, well, if I play, what percentage is there that I'm going to get hurt again?
I mean, I had a Bruce Jenner one back in the day when he was a regular.
And then I chimed in to the doctors.
During the first intermission, I'm flicking it over to the Celtics.
And they said, well, then his career would be over.
Oh, Jesus.
Zill thinks that Reinsdorf sounds like Kenan Lowell.
Not so much when you play them back to back. You have to kind of do it in the abstract.
Oh, not so much when you actually compare the two? Sure. Oh, that's interesting.
Michael asked him, well, if I play, what percentage is there that I'm going to get hurt again?
I mean, I had a Bruce Jenner one back in the day when he was a regular.
And then I chimed in to the doctors.
During the first intermission, I'm flicking it over to the Celtics.
And they said, well, then his career would be over.
Oh, Jesus.
So when it comes to this documentary, The Last Dance, ESPN, I watched the unedited version, the naughty version last night. A lot of people have said, Hardy, that, you know, Jordan won't come out of this looking good. It's not a fluff piece on Jordan. Like, look out. They'll leave no stone unturned on Jordan. You know, he could come out of this looking bad.
Well, he doesn't. And the one assessment I heard is, you may not come away from this thinking Jordan is such a nice guy after all. And to my immediate reaction was, I never thought Jordan was a nice guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I always thought Jordan was a bit of a prick, and I put him in the category of guys who get an absolute pass in terms of their personality. And it's a short, short list of athletes, artists, whatever. But if you are so good as to be the best at doing something as anyone has ever been on the planet, who says you have to be a nice guy to go along with it? Like, I care if Michael Jordan is a nice guy. Like, I care if Muhammad Ali was a good dude or not, or Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus. They're the greatest of all time. That's enough for me. I don't need him to be a nice guy. If you are, if you happen to be a nice guy, oh, my God, well, you're a candidate for sainthood. But for me, just watching Jordan and knowing that he was the best to ever play the game, what do I care? I never thought he was a nice guy. So but I don't think my mind is going to be changed on that, at least in that regard.
It's
if
the commercials.
Anything,
it's the Gatorade. Yeah, be like Mike and smiling and all that because he had that infectious smile. You just assumed that he was a great guy, you know? Everybody wants to be like Mike.
What did you think of last night's episode, though, Zoe, and how he came off?
I caught it halfway through, so... I totally forgot it was on, dealing with crap all weekend.
I thought he came off looking actually great in the episode. I thought he came off looking...
It reminded me of like Kobe or LeBron. Yeah, it's the same guy. You know, the guy that cut your throat.
No, I'd say he came off as far more humble than those guys early in his career when they went back and played some of the old stuff, Hardy, and some of the old interviews. And, you know, he discusses current day in his interview how when he was a young player... he started laughing about the line about the cocaine circus that they had called the Chicago Bulls. And he said, you know, I remember as a rookie, I went into a hotel room and I thought, I really shouldn't be here because I'm not into any of this. And if these guys get caught, I'll be just as guilty. So it's just not my scene. It's not my thing. Like, he didn't drink. He wasn't into the drug scene in the NBA. Like, he was sort of, you know, all about basketball and just trying to get better and wanting the team to be better. Like, I thought he came off looking really good, at least in the early part of his career and what we had seen so far.
Yeah, in the interviews and especially as a rookie and all that, he looks good. And in his sit-down, you know, like current day, he's somewhat, he's never self-deprecating, but, you know, he appears almost embarrassed at some of the, you know, notions, and he's telling stories. But where he comes across and what Jim brought up and what I thought was very interesting was in his interactions with a certain someone in the front office there. And he comes off as being a bit of a bully and kind of petty. And again, to get back to the root of this, unlikable. I mean, there's nothing likable about a guy who sees his boss walk by and makes fun of him for being short. You know, people who...
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, people who brag about being tall.
What are you
bragging about? It's like, okay, so it's one thing to be, you know, putting on, you know, the best face in an interview, but what is he like when the cameras are rolling all the time and he's giving people a hard time, and there's giving people a hard time in a good-natured way, and there's doing it, you know, kind of like under your breath because you really don't like someone and you're trying to get people
that's
to go
different.
Along with you.
Yeah.
And that's what he came across like in a couple of those moments.
Yeah, I would agree. And Krause clearly looks like the villain in the documentary, but the thing that he was the villain for the Chicago Bulls, for the players.
Yeah.
They all hated the guy.
And I almost want,
sort of in a weird way. I wonder if it brings them together, like, you know, what you say about common enemies. You know, it always brings people together. They hated Krause. The players on that team, we've already seen it. We only saw the first hour, Hardy, but it's only going to get worse. They can't stand the guy. And who knows, in a strange way, it may have been good for them that they all hated him together.
And I missed this part of the story as it was happening. I mean, you know, we're all much younger then and not paying as much attention now or then as we do now. But I want to go back and watch at least that portion of the episode where they come to the decision that it's going to be Phil Jackson's last year. And that announcement that Krause makes to the media, I thought was fascinating. He sat there at a press conference and said, this will be Phil's last year. I'm like, how did you come to that decision and that agreement? And Phil didn't seem like particularly happy about it. And I know they were talking about the future of the team, but I missed, you know, parts of it and the nuances of it. And I think that's, you know, as you begin this, this is going to serve as the basis, I think, for a lot of the rest of these episodes, is the decision that they came to that this was going to be it. How do you come to that decision? How do you inform those people? And Jackson, you know, so far, in at least the one episode that I watched last night, didn't address it all that much. I don't know if he appears current day in this thing or not, but to
Krause,
me, that's...
Krause has passed away.
No, Jackson.
You said Phil Jackson.
Oh.
Whether
yeah.
Phil...
Well, Jackson, his... Yeah, he's in it, and he talked about the conversation that he had when he went into the office and was... told without him saying anything, this is it, this is your last year.
Was that a current day interview, or was
yes,
that
was.
One from a
no,
few years
current.
I thought it was a few years ago.
Oh, well, it seemed like it was filmed for this documentary though.
Okay, all right. To me, that is like the fascinating part of this, when they just decide, we won three in a row.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.